Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Got to find out from Kurt Heelan here if I need to gas up the car and get ready to head to Orlando.
He gonna ride up?
I might. I don't think they let me in.
I was going to say, what are you going to sit outside the arena and stalk people?
Hi, Duncan Robinson here. Duncan Robinson for, can you double check my name, please?
You got a way better chance of being Alex Caruso, I'm telling you.
Very true. Very true. All right, let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Kurt Heelan, he is the lead NBA writer and managing editor at NBCSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. He is a friend of the program. He is joining us now. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, how's it going? And isn't that the beauty of Alex Caruso? Is everybody looks at him and goes, "That guy's an athlete. I could have been an NBA."
Then
you watch him play. Guy is springy.
Like, he's good.
He is a legitimately good athlete, but it just doesn't look it.
Yeah, I root for all the bald guys. I loved Manu Ginobili, that he wouldn't shave his head, that he had the big giant bald spot. That's what I got. I love Caruso. I'm all about that. What is the latest? So we all start seeing, I guess, about 24 hours ago, the NBA, that Orlando is in the lead to host all the remaining NBA games, and that would kind of be the bubble city. Although I see on your Twitter account, it wouldn't even be that they'd be locked in a bubble per se. So what do we know?
You can't just put the players in a hotel with armed guards at the front and say, "Hey, this is what we're doing." That's just not going to be able to work. The guys have to be able to leave the bubble, but they take the risk of, hey, you get back, you get tested. If you're positive, you know, you're going to miss time. They're going to try to keep them there. And part of the reason Orlando wins out over Vegas is it's twofold. A, as you all know, that's a private property, right? So it's easier to keep Hawk and or Crowder from just randomly showing up and pretending to be Alex Caruso, right? Like, it's just, it's way harder to get in, where in Vegas, there's not that going to be that kind of separation. It's a little harder. The other part of it simply is there are fewer distractions that draw guys out of the room. I mean, you can get in trouble in Orlando, sure. There's always options, but it is not going to be the same level of trouble that exists and potential temptations that exist in Vegas. Vegas is just, as we all know, loaded with them. So that's part of the real attraction. Although I've heard both, by the way, I've still heard that they might do both for a while. And then when you get down to the Final Four or something, bring everybody to Vegas.
And Kurt, people talked about
it. To Orlando.
This isn't my take. I just heard people talking about it and I agree with it. Kurt, what's the point of dragging Golden State, who's 15-50, or the Timberwolves, who's 19-45? What's the point of dragging them to Orlando or Vegas, if it is, and making them play basketball? They're not making the playoffs. There's no reason for them to put themselves in harm's way. Why is the Golden State Warriors going to play any more basketball this season?
this is one of the real questions, I think, going forward, because there's pushback from those owners and some of the players. Look, they'll go if they're asked for the good of the game. And the argument is if you get everybody to 70 games, it's a little bit more of a legitimate season, and you can it helps some of the regional sports networks hit a number and stuff. But those are pretty meaningless games. And look, if I'm the Warriors, my plan, Steph Curry, if I'm Portland and I'm like 3.5 games out, I've had a nice season, but, you know, injuries did us in. Am I playing CJ and Dame? Like, what's the point of risking the injury? I'm with you. I don't know why you make the bubble bigger. Let's put it this way. Everything's risk-reward at this point. Why am I adding risk for that reward? What is the reward I'm getting for adding the risk of bringing in these players? Just call it, man. Just say, sorry, guys, weird season. This is how it ends. And let's get the playoff teams in.
Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, NBCSports.com. How would it work? Do you know what the actual plan is? Like, how many games would be played? When the playoffs would start? Would they be 7-game series? Like, are there any kind of specifics on how it would all work?
I have to start with the everything is in flux and on the table caveat, but the ballpark idea is teams would host their own training camp in their facilities. So starting June 1st, they're going to be able to call back players, the guys who are out of area in Miami. I think there's a couple of them. Have them come back, start doing full-on practices and workouts at their facility, then come to Vegas or Orlando, and the games would start. There might be a couple of exhibition games in there. If there are regular season games, I'm still hearing it's a handful. I mean, teams were between, I think it was 63 or 64 and 67 games, and the idea is to get them to 70 to 72, everybody. So you're talking 5-7 games for people primarily. Like, it's just not going to be that many games of regular season. But part of that is trainers warned them, and they're right about this. If you go straight from training camp to the playoffs, you're risking injury. You're really going from 0 to 100, and you can throw in some exhibition games if you want, but that kind of ramp up, their hope is to get the legs under these guys a little bit before you get to playoff games.
And Kurt, are they going to do the superlatives? MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How is that going to be voted on? And is it off the first 64 to 67 games? Are they going to count these extra 5 games? Like, what's going to go on with the superlatives?
Those extra games would count. But let me just say, as a voter, how much am I moving my MVP / Defensive Player of the Year, whatever, vote based on these weird 5 games tacked on at the end? Like, not at all, if any. You know, most of this stuff is pretty – like I said, a few things I'm certainly still debating in my head at the bottom of some third-team All-NBA ballot and stuff. But a lot of this is kind of locked in. I'm not like – people aren't going to be changing their minds. So they will eventually send out – but the plan, as I've heard, is to still send out ballots to the voters whenever the regular season ends and ask them to vote.
Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com. Crazy time. Have you thought personally – if NBC Sports asks you to go to Orlando and cover these games, there will be a limited number of press allowed or however it's done. Would you travel? Would you feel safe covering games?
It's funny. We have had that conversation a little bit. And it kind of, in my case, it depends a little bit on timing, too, and just some family challenges. My wife's a teacher. If this drags into September and my kids are back in school and actually physically going to campuses, which is a whole nother question, it becomes challenging not to have me in the house. So there's a few things. I would probably be willing to do it for a stretch, but I can't picture myself being there for 2 months either. I can't just like spending 2 months covering these games in this bubble would be difficult.
And Kurt, you bring that up. What about the players? Can they bring family if they have a married, a pregnant spouse? Or what about a guy that has 6 or 7 kids? Are they making rules on that?
They are allowed to bring immediate family. I don't know if they're going to have – would there have to be a Dwight Howard wing? Would he just have to have his own wing of the entire hotel?
Yes.
They're going to be able to bring immediate family, significant others. I'm not sure where they're going to draw that line exactly, but people are going to be able to bring it. And that's part of the advantage / attraction of Orlando is that it is, The other parks in that facility are slowly supposed to start to reopen, and some of the stuff there over the summer. So maybe people could get out and go to the Safari Land or Epcot or whatever it is. So
no one has ever mistaken a Disney park for Safari Land, which sounds like a ride at a sounds like a ride at a carnival. Safari Land.
Isn't there a wild animal park? I thought there was. I think there is.
There is. It's
Animal Kingdom.
I was just about to say it's Lion Country Safari, which is up in West Palm. Yeah. No, it's Animal Kingdom. What'd you call
Animal
it?
Kingdom.
Wild Animal Funhouse. What'd you say?
It's a bunch of lions looking into, you know, like fat mirrors and stuff. It's a fun house.
I'm guessing you're not a huge Disney World guy.
I have been once briefly. Yeah, it's for a wedding.
Briefly? Who the hell's been to Disney World briefly?
I live in
briefly.
LA. I got Disneyland here.
It's impossible to go to Disney World briefly.
I think overnight.
Kurt Heelan.
Wow. Man, I don't need to go there.
I've never been to Disneyland. I heard very small compared to Disney World.
It's definitely smaller. They've tried to expand it and stuff, but the city grew up around it, so there's unlike Disney World, they can't just grow the thing. It is what it is space wise, and they kind of have to reconvert and be creative. It's much more, congested isn't the word I'm looking for because it doesn't necessarily feel that way, but everything's much closer together.
What, going back to basketball here for a second, Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com. So the Heat right now are the 4 seed in the East, right? They're 41-24. They've looked good. They haven't looked as good after the All-Star break. Let's say 5 or 7 games are played, like you said, before the playoffs. Would you expect things to stay the same? Would you expect Milwaukee and Toronto and Boston to be 1, 2, 3 in the East and the Heat to be 4? Or do you think certain rosters would be more suited for however this is going to pick up? Like, I'm curious how you think the basketball plays out.
That is one of the million-dollar questions. Do the old legs, and I don't think Miami's really an old leg team, but like, do teams with older legs get this comeback? You know, does James Harden look pretty gassed at points? Does he come back refreshed? And I think in the case of Miami, they've got some young, there's some guys, you know, Bam and Tyler Hero and everybody else. Like, they've got some young guys they rely on who should bounce back. Jimmy Butler, you know, Jimmy Butler kept in shape and worked out every day and isn't. Like, I think Miami's one of those teams in a position to kind of bounce back better than they were. I don't know about Indiana in that same place. It's really hard to predict Indiana and how fast they're going to climb because it comes back to, like, Victor Oladipo and, like, how does he bounce back from all this? Because he's just seemed to be kind of finding his groove. And, hey, here's another 2 months off. Like, how long does it take for him to find a rhythm again?
And Kurt, on the way out, Last Dance, we got episode 9 and 10 on Sunday. Now that you've seen the entire documentary, some people are saying it's not a documentary because Jordan had, you know, final say on everything, you know, everything broadcast. But what's the most memorable part of it? What did you learn? Like, what if I asked you to explain Last Dance to me, what would be some topics that you'd have to bring up?
Look, it was a nice trip down memory lane. I think it was fun to revisit, like, how insanely competitive Jordan was in a league. Look, you don't get to be an NBA player or a professional athlete without being competitive, right? Like, without that streak in you. But, like, hey, I mean, like, I'm going to play quarters against a security guard in the back room of the and lose, by the way. Like, that's the stuff that sticks with me and the unapologeticness of it. Like, hey, man, did I kind of bully, you know, I don't think he used the word bully, but like, was I kind of a bully to teammates? Yeah, but that's how I had to lead. And I think in his mind, that is how he had to lead. And it was an entertaining trip, but I think that's the stuff that sticks with me, that Jordan was Jordan and he's still Jordan. There's brief moments of, you know, maybe I could have done something another way, but I don't think he really ever sees it that way. I think he sees it as, this is the only way I could have done things.
All right, then I got to ask you something real quick because we're out of time here, but we had this conversation yesterday. Michael Jordan, you give him a year to prepare. So it's one game, one-on-one game, and he gets a year to prepare. It's going to be on national TV. You know how much he enjoys winning and competition and pride. So it's not the pot-bellied Michael Jordan you may have seen in the interviews. He gets a year to prepare. Could he beat the bottom 13, 14, 15 guy on the bench of all NBA teams?
I was about to say, yeah, he's not beating the top guys anymore. But
right. And by the way, there's no three-pointers, there's no dunking. No three-pointers, no dunking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think he could. I think it would be very competitive. I think he could beat them because you know what? To come back, he'd still be able to use that. He's still a big, strong guy. He could get into position. And who's blocking that fadeaway? Like, that fadeaway was just a beast. And it's an unstoppable one-on-one move, man. And so, I think he could be competitive with and maybe beat a bunch of the guys at the end of the bench.
There you go. I like to hear that.
The fadeaway works when you can drive and you can jump, Kurt. His vertical is 7 inches right now.
No. Michael can do anything.
He can't beat a 20-year-old.
Mike, yes, he could.
You give him a year to prepare, and he can get that vertical up to 10.
I'm telling you, if it's he gets a year to prepare for one game, you're telling me that he couldn't beat who? Solana, who were you saying yesterday? Like from the Heat, go deep in the Heat bench though. Don't go to Derek Jones Jr. Like go deep on the Heat bench.
Oh, Derek Jones Jr. would be hard. Yeah,
KZ Akpala.
Oh, easy. KZ's got him.
I don't think so.
That'd be interesting. The different level of the athleticism now. Like, I mean, and I've just, I don't mean, I mean, a little bit generationally, like guys are better. The guys at the end of the bench now are way better athletes than they were when Jordan played. But more than that, the 20-year-old versus 50-year-old athlete, some of us are a little.
Right. And he would be 58 next year when this happens. 58.
He's still tall and can shoot, man. I don't know.
And he's MJ.
He'd have trouble stopping guys. I don't know if he could get enough stops.
Yeah, because his knees don't bend.
You're going to take KZ over MJ. Come on.
Solomon Hill. Over Michael Jordan, Kurt. You with me?
Because they're in the same shape.
Solomon Hill goes down two plays in with a sprain, and we're done. So.
Solomon Hill taps out. He's winded. All right. Kurt Helin, read his work, NBCSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, @BasketballTalk. Thank you, Kurt.
Take care, guys.
This is a fascinating question, man. Just because it's very hard to say, I think KZ Akpala would beat Michael Jordan. I don't care how old he is. I just can't say it. I can't say it.
But he's 58.
I know. I can't say it, though. I can't say it. That's how magical Michael Jordan was on the basketball court.
Anybody in the NBA can beat Charles Barkley right now. Is that crazy to you?
No, that's because he's very heavy. Very heavy. MJ's not.
No spring chicken, just little poochie.
I know, but Paunch is not heavy. Like, he's got a little paunch, but in a year, I'm telling you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.